Baccalaureate Address to Class of 2008. In the curious custom of this venerable institution, I find myself standing before you expected to impart words of lasting wisdom. Here I am in a pulpit, dressed like a Puritan minister, an apparition that would have horrified many of my distinguished forebears, and perhaps rededicated some of them to the extirpation of witches. This moment would have propelled Increase and Cotton into a true Mather Lather. But here I am, and there you are, and it is the moment of and for Veritas. You have been undergraduates for 4 years. I have been president for not quite one. You have known 3 presidents, I, 1 senior class. Where, then, lies the voice of experience? Maybe you should be offering the wisdom. Perhaps our roles could be reversed, and I could, in Harvard Law School style, do cold calls for the next hour or so. We all do seem to have made it to this point, more or less in one piece, though I recently learned that we have not provided you with dinner since May 22nd. I know we need to wean you from Harvard in a figurative sense. I never knew we took it quite so literally. But let's return to that notion of cold calls for a moment. Let's imagine this were a baccalaureate service in the form of Q&A, and you were asking the questions. What is the meaning of life, President Faust? What were these 4 years at Harvard for? President Faust, you must have learned something since you graduated from college exactly 40 years ago. 40 years. I'll say it out loud, since every detail of my life, and certainly the year of my Bryn Mawr degree, now seems to be publicly available. But please remember, I was young for my class. In a way, you have been engaging me in this Q&A for the past year. On just these questions, although you have phrased them a bit more narrowly, and I have been trying to figure out how I might answer, and perhaps more intriguingly, why you were asking. As I have listened to you talk about the choices ahead of you, I have heard you articulate your worries about the relationship of success and happiness. Perhaps more accurately, how to define success so that it yields and encompasses real happiness, not just money and prestige. The most remunerative choice, you fear, may not be the most meaningful and the most satisfying, but you wonder how you would ever survive as an artist or an actor or a public servant or a high school teacher. How would you ever figure out a path by which to make your way into journalism? Would you ever find a job as an English professor after you finished who knows how many years of graduate school and dissertation writing? The answer is, you won't know till you try. But if you don't try to do what you love, whether it is painting or biology or finance, if you don't pursue what you think will be most meaningful, you will regret it. Life is long. There is always time for Plan B. But don't begin with it. Think of this as my parking space theory of career choice, and I have been sharing it with students for decades. Don't park 20 blocks from your destination because you think you'll never find a space. Go where you want to be, and then circle back to where you have to be. You may love investment banking or finance or consulting. It might be just right for you. Or you might be like the senior I met at lunch at Kirkland, who had just returned from an interview on the West Coast with a prestigious consulting firm. "Why am I doing this?" she asked. "I hate flying. I hate hotels. I won't like this job." Find work you love. It is hard to be happy if you spend more than half your waking hours doing something you don't. But what is ultimately most important here is that you are asking the question, not just of me, but of yourselves. You are choosing roads and at the same time challenging your own choices. You have a notion of what you want your life to be, and you are not sure the road you are taking is going to get you there, this is the best news, and it is also, I hope, to some degree, our fault. Noticing your life, reflecting upon it, considering how you can live it well, wondering how you can do good. These are perhaps the most valuable things that a liberal arts education has equipped you to do. A liberal education demands that you live self-consciously. It prepares you to seek and define the meaning inherent in all you do. It has made you an analyst and a critic of yourself. A person in this way supremely equipped to take charge of your life and how it unfolds. It is in this sense that the liberal arts are liberal, as in liberate, to free. They empower you with the possibility of exercising agency, of discovering meaning, of making choices. The surest way to have a meaningful, happy life is to commit yourself to striving for it. Don't settle. Be prepared to change routes. Remember the impossible expectations we have of you. And even as you recognize they are impossible, remember how important they are as a lodestar guiding you toward something that matters to you and to the world. The meaning of your life is for you to make. I can't wait to see how you all turn out. Do come back from time to time and let us know.